Hi, this is Pat Goan, author of Blessed, Beautiful, and Bodacious, Celebrating the Gift of Catholic Womanhood. And welcome to 10 Bodacious Basics, 10 Minutes at a Time. This is a short podcast-style tour through the book with excerpts read by yours truly. Listen each day for a new insight or reflection about the blessed dignity, the beautiful gifts, or the bodacious mission of women. Each day on the blog tour, a new question will be posted at the host blog about the day's theme. And comments at the blog become your entry for a chance to win a copy of Blessed, Beautiful, and Bodacious. I hope you'll join me in this conversation as the book travels around the blogosphere weekdays through April 26th. Today's audio tour stop is brought to you by Snoring Scholar, created by Sarah Reinhard. This is part 4 of 10 Bodacious Basics, and our topic today is saying yes to love. Our reading comes from Chapter 4. This is from John chapter 15. As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment. Love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. I have called you friends because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Those potent words from Jesus echoed the blessing of being chosen and loved by God, so that we might respond with love for one another. My husband Bob and I had that scripture reference engraved inside our wedding rings, though it took years of trial and error for the truth to become fully inscribed on our hearts. I learned firsthand that marriage is an amplifier. Everything I liked or disliked about my man before I married increased in volume after marriage. I ran headlong into a wall of selfishness and struggles for power, not to mention my own anger issues that erupted from my quick temper. I struggled with the sacrificial aspects of taking care of a home and a family. Putting others' needs ahead of my own was harder than I had thought. I bristled when I could not control things. Motherhood intensified my struggles, often reducing me to tears. I was profoundly disappointed with the shortcomings of my love and my lack of achievement. I was trying to achieve in my marriage and achieve in my mothering the way I had succeeded in school and at work, as if there were a performance scorecard attached to my efforts. No greater love that Jesus spoke about required something more than the tyranny of perfectionism. It needed my attentiveness, my surrender, and sacrifice. Love was first more about being rather than doing, and putting people ahead of things. It involved a willingness to just be in the moment rather than push past it, receiving instead of achieving. I prayed for answers to my small, inadequate love and my slow interior reception to loving as I ought. Oh, the lessons of love are easier to inscribe on a ring than on a life. I relearned them over and over. As the Father has loved me, so also I love you. I had to enter into that prayer of Jesus and make it my own. The only cure for too little love is more love. I needed to welcome my family ever deeper into my heart, drawing deeply from the well of God's first love for me. It realigned my thinking to where I could, through my actions to my husband and children, say, as the Father loves me, so I also love you. This man and these children aren't a side trip, a detour on the way toward achieving something else. They are the way, the path, and most of all, they are gifts of love. They are gifts of God's love made visible. Bob is a gift. Our children are gifts. I am a gift to them. But first, I had to receive them as gifts, treasure them as gifts. Receptivity reflects our dignity and design as women. Our feminine bodies and souls are designed to receive God and others. While I may have been endowed with receptivity, I surely needed lessons in cultivating a spirit of receptivity. Mary showed me how. I confess, back then, I was still struggling with Mary. My old impressions died hard. Why would I want to receive Mary as an example or a mentor for my life? Mary's identifying herself as a handmaid had bugged me over the years. After all, it all seemed so subservient. In Luke's gospel, Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Ever since marriage and motherhood rocked my world, I had to admire how Mary's self-effacing title of handmaid is something she rejoiced in a few verses later in Luke when she praised God for the happiness that she had in her life. She says, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Mary responded to God's plan with extraordinary verve and 9 unfaltering words, "Let it be to me according to your word." Were Mary's words relevant to me? Eventually. Marriage and family life had reshaped my life, my plans. What prayer might I enter into to meet the challenges I faced? There was only one. Let it be to me. God knew that his power would assist me if I placed my trust, my yes, in his providence for my role as a wife and mother, even if in my own weakness I needed to renew that yes every day. Whenever I did that, grace flooded in. When I trusted God wholeheartedly, I found joy in my role. It's almost as if I could pray alongside Mary, that he who is mighty has done great things for me. Indeed, he had. Another lesson was coming alive for me, that God always has our best interest at heart. Just like it said in John's gospel, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." Mary actively and passionately embraced God's plan for her. She willingly chose and trusted what God set out for her to do. Submission to God's plan is anything but a weak choice. In my life, I came to learn that submission puts me under God's mission. Being a loving and faithful servant did not demean Mary, it fulfilled her. As Elizabeth said in the Gospels, "Blessed are you among women," acknowledging Mary's willingness to receive God's plan unselfishly. Mary helped me find the grace I needed to lay down my old self-centered ways in exchange for a new and joyful feminine love that embraced others without fear and without having to receive something in order to give. My yes to love, my yes to this vocation, revealed my love, the love I gave and received as gift. Not something I earned. It's all a gift. This is Pat Goan. Thanks for joining me for this stop on the blog tour. Tomorrow we visit Cause of Our Joy. For now, look for details on how you might win a copy of Blessed, Beautiful, and Bodacious right here at the Snoring Scholar.